Good morning. Good morning. Happy Palm Sunday. Are you ready for Easter?
Yeah.
It's going to be a great day around here. Make sure you are here with friends and family, ready to love on the Lord. Well, I'm so glad you guys are here. You guys glad to be here?
Yes.
Good. You guys are louder than usual. That's good. That's awesome. I just want to start right off the bat. It says, Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." Wow, Pastor Dan, that is a heck of a verse to start Palm Sunday on. I want to remind you of a few things. This is a conversation that has taken place just a few chapters before the triumphant entry. And I believe that this conversation that we're getting ready to read in full context has a lot to do with what Jesus is preparing his people for. Especially this last line, you are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. I would ask that you keep that line in the back of your mind this morning, because it's going to weave itself in and out of what we're talking about today. Over these last 6 weeks, we've been talking about losing a lot in order to find ourselves in God. To lose one type of life in order to find an entirely new one altogether. We talked about losing our dignity and pride. We talked about losing our religion. We talked about losing our voice, losing our certainty, losing our esteem. And then last week, our one and only Michelle taught us on how to lose our fear. What is one of the enemy's greatest traps that hinder this type of life, the life of losing? What is it that causes us to not see Jesus' point of view? It's the temptation of building up self, the building up of our own life. You see, life is more than just flesh and blood, and it's more than just what Jesus is asking for when he says, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it, but if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. It's more than just the flesh and blood that he's talking about. Life is everything that encapsulates who we are. It's what we believe. It's what defines us. It's what we've been given, what we give value to, the things that we place priority on and who we do those things with. It's what drives our decision. It makes up who we are. It's that life of self that hinders this calling of losing to find. What makes up one's life? I was on the internet and I was looking at all these different surveys of what people thought what made up a life. And there were so many of them, but I wanted to pick and pull a few that just kept coming up throughout these different surveys. And as things like this came out, maybe you've heard of this when maybe you're talking about what makes up one's life. Life is about finding and doing what makes you happy. Life is about achieving your dreams. Life is about finding your identity in this world. Life is about being the best you that you can be. Life is about building your legacy. Is life about accomplishing our goals, our dreams, or fulfillment through accomplishing the things that this world says that we need to accomplish? Is it possible that our lives were meant to fulfill someone else's plans? Is it possible that our definition of life became watered down the second we thought it was about us? And that to find ourselves in the sense that Jesus is referring to is to take up his desires, to take up his plans, his purpose, and more importantly, his point of view. All of those topics that I mentioned earlier that we've been talking about that you can go back on the podcast and on our website and catch up if you haven't watched all of them or weren't here for those. You definitely should. I would encourage you to do that. But all of those topics that I mentioned earlier that we've been talking about, those things that we're called to lose in order to come empty-handed into the presence of Jesus so that nothing holds us back, comes down to this. It's what all these weeks have been coming to. Now everything's coming to a head. This is it. Today we're talking about losing our life, which is to learn how to lose self. And it's tough. To lose ourself in such a way that we find life that is, we find a life that is beyond our plans. We find a life that is beyond our dreams. We find a life that is beyond our abilities, beyond our understanding, and that can only be realized as we stop allowing ourselves to be trapped by this world's point of view. To believe more often than we do that Jesus sees something that we don't and will do things differently than we would. All for his kingdom's pursuit, not ours. And the worst thing that we can do is allow ourselves to get in the way. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to read it all in its context and bounce back and forth through verses 21 and 26. And here we're going to learn some things about self through this encounter between Jesus and Peter and his disciples. And if you're turning there with your Bible, that's awesome. If you don't have a hard copy, you can always download YouVersion. It's a free app on your phone. You can go to YouVersion, and on the bottom right-hand corner, you can hit that tab. You can go to events and go to Disciples Church, and you'll actually see a lot of the material that we're going to be going through this morning. And as you're doing that, would you pray with me? How often we miss hearing your voice, walking out what you've called us to walk out, things that we miss in your presence because we have an entirely different point of view. Lord, this morning, help us get rid of self enough to see past us and to see what your plan is for us this morning. To get past us enough to see what your desire is for our lives. To get past self enough that this morning does not end up being about us, but all about you. Father, help us in this daily task of giving up our life, losing our life to find this life that you're calling us to, that is all about you. In your precious name we pray, and all God's people said. Matthew 16, verses 21 through 23 is where we're going to start. It says, from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. And again, I have to reiterate how much I love that last line. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's. Here's Jesus speaking from a selfless mindset, preparing to do something that is selfless. He is quite literally going to get ready to die to self, speaking and doing what he sees the Father speaking and doing. He can see the road he's on, preparing to sacrifice all to show mankind a new life in him. And he knows that this new life will come at the cost of his. Then Peter says something that I hear the world saying even today. It might not sound like these words exactly, but it's something I hear the world saying to us today. Again, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. The world pulls us aside and tries to lure us with a mentality, a point of view of self-preservation, self-security, self-protection, to not do what might cost you everything. And that in the eyes of man wouldn't be understood, but directly aligns itself with God's will anyway. Here is Jesus telling them that, hey, all these horrible things are going to happen. He knows it has to happen. This is the fulfillment of prophecy. This is big stuff that Jesus is talking about. says, no, this will never happen to you. Now, this isn't malicious. I'm sure he just doesn't want Jesus to go through these things, but he's seeing it through his perception, his point of view. Always trying life or this world, always trying to get us to a point of, in relationship with this world and self that lures us into a point of view that this will never happen. This healing will never take place. God, you would never ask me to go to Guatemala and help serve these eco-filters to this village. God, you would never have me do that. God, you're never going to heal my marriage. God, this is never going to happen. Again, the world luring us into a place of believing those words, this will never happen. Peter couldn't see past himself. And let me tell you something, guys. Losing our life will require us to see past ourselves, past our needs, past our wants, past our desires, past our comfort, past our understanding, past our abilities, and past our security. And here's a point. Losing so much of yourself that nothing about us can be used as an excuse as to why we can't or won't do what Jesus is calling us to do. Losing so much of ourself that nothing about us can be used as an excuse as to why we can't or won't do what Jesus is calling us to do. Whether that's your time, whether that's finances, whether you think you have zero ability to do the things that Jesus is calling you to do, that's all self. That's where it's at, right? That's the newfound life that Jesus is giving us the opportunity to find by losing our life. Verse 24, again, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? To lose our lives, to lose our way, that holds us back from recognizing his kingdom at hand. So that we can find this new life that helps us see past ourselves long enough to interact with and be obedient to his calling, his plans, and his will. Losing self is surrendering yourself to God, his ways, his steps, his desires. It comes down to what's best for his kingdom. How often do we ask that of ourselves throughout our day? A kingdom that is not designed to fit our life's parameters or our self mindset. You do realize that his kingdom and all power and glory is not designed to fit in our life's parameters. It's not designed to work with a self mentality, which is why we're called to lose it. It's why the scripture is so important. So we will stop trying to fit his kingdom in our life's parameters. This is why losing your life is so important. It's why this scripture means so much. This is why this has to take place in order for all those other things to be lost. Again, in verse 21, from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leader priests, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. This plan obviously didn't fit into Peter's life. This wasn't fitting into what self wanted. He didn't want Jesus to go. He didn't want Jesus to suffer terrible things, to be ridiculed, and then to be killed. Even if Jesus said that on the third day he would be raised from the dead, it was too different. Not what he was expecting. Not how Peter saw things going. And then Jesus says what we read to start the morning with. Again, Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's. You're going to get tired of me hearing that line over and over this morning. From this scripture, I see a few things about self that I think we need to take note of this morning. From this conversation that's happening between Jesus and Peter and what he's asking the disciples to be aware of and to lose our life in order to save it and what that looks like, I think there's some things we can start learning about self. Self gets in the way of hearing Jesus. It's hard to hear Jesus calling when all you hear is yourself. Jeremiah 6:10 says, "To whom can I give warning? Who will listen when I speak? Their ears are closed and they cannot hear. They scorn the word of the Lord. They don't want to listen at all." In Isaiah 42:20, "You have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen." This happens as we get wrapped up in our own lives and are only concerned about dealing with self. Second thing about self that we can learn in this back and forth between Jesus and Peter, self makes us spiritually numb. Matthew 13:15 says, "For the heart of the people, of this people, has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them." Only looking at how God works through our own experiences, our own comfort levels, our own logic, breeds a life where we begin to operate more from self and our own lives than we do in the Spirit. I don't know about you, I don't want to operate from self. It's tough. We wake up and it's all about what we've got to do. We wake up and it's all about the jobs we have. We wake up and it's all about the things that our family needs. We wake up with a to-do list a mile long. I get it. But it makes us numb if we don't try to start with hearing the voice of God and change our point of view from what's important, what kingdom we should be starting our day with. Self gets in the way of believing. Believing his plan, believing his word. We say things like, "How can God do something like that? How can God expect me to do that? God must be outside of his godly mind to think that I can give up what life I've created, what life I've made, what I have accomplished, what people think about me to do this thing that you're asking me to do." Matthew 6:25 says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8 says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." That's a life not about self. Belief, trust, confidence is stifled when we try to cling to our life. See it all the time. I've seen it in my life a lot. Where I feel God tugging on my heart to do something. It doesn't fit the timing. It doesn't fit in the atmosphere. It might look funny, might look weird. And I allow self to get in the way of what God's calling me to do. Self gets in the way of being bold for Jesus. We get stuck in just being safe with certain aspects of who Jesus is. And I've talked about this a long time ago. There are certain aspects and characteristics of Jesus that I think we get pretty comfortable with. Like, we're good with healer Jesus. We're good with providing Jesus. We're good with friend Jesus. What about Lord Jesus? What about King Jesus? What about, I've got something for you to do today that is going to make you very uncomfortable, Jesus? When we rely on self, we begin to pick and choose what plays nice with our life. It's time to put down what plays nice and get bold about what Jesus is calling us to do day in and day out. Amen? Amen. Man, I'm tired of just letting things just play nice. Well, this worked out for me today. I got to pray for somebody at church. I know, Jesus, that you called me to pray for somebody at the mall today, but no, I will reserve that for the church. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10 says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. As we look throughout Scripture, whether it's David, Paul, Esther, Moses, Daniel, Joseph, Naomi, and so many more, their life was laid down in order to be bold for God. Self just gets in the way of the life Jesus has for us. What life am I talking about? What life does Jesus have for us? Well, let me tell you. It's a life without checking in with self. It's a life without checking in with our fears. It's a life without checking in with our esteem. It's a life without checking in with our certainty or security. A life without checking in with our voice and what we have to say, as Peter did, about what Jesus is wanting to do. A life without checking in with religion, but instead relying more on relationship and what God wants to do. A life without checking in with our pride. You see what I did there? It was all the things in reverse that we've been talking about for the last 6 weeks. Self wants you to check in with these things, guys. Self wants you to check in with everything I just mentioned. When Jesus calls your name and says, I need you to go, I need you to pray, I need you to give, self wants all these things to be checked off before we do anything. That's why life needs to be, we need to lose self. That's why this scripture is so important. Self wants you to check in with these things because self is about control. Self wants to guide your steps. But Jesus is calling us to lose self, lose our life, declaring, Jesus, you direct my steps any way you see fit, regardless of how it fits me. It's saying, Jesus, you're going to Jerusalem, and you're saying that they're going to make you suffer, and they're going to do terrible things to you, and they're going to kill you. But you're saying that on the third day, you're going to raise from the dead. Awesome. Sounds like a plan. Let's go. Right? Not trying to be trite here, but it's these conversations that we need to start having with Jesus when he calls us to something. When he says, hey, Dan, I'm going to do this in you. It's going to be really weird. It's going to be crazy. It's going to cost you something. You're going to have to let a lot of yourself go. And instead of me saying this will never happen, as would my point of view be if I was living from this kingdom only, but instead being able to say, awesome, Jesus, sounds like a plan. Let's go. Because my point of view has to shift to what God's point of view is. Amen? That only happens when you let self go. It's putting his understanding in front of yours. It's putting his love in front of your hate. It's putting his grace and mercy in front of your grudge. It's putting his plans and his kingdom above your logic and rationale. I want to share just some practical how to lose yourself steps. I don't have scriptures for these. I'm just going to go through them, and I hope that they speak to you in ways that maybe we can start exercising this life of losing self. First thing is find life outside of you. What I mean by that is not propped up by temporal things of this world, not satisfied by this world's standards of what qualifies as life. Your life is lost and found in him when you are growing his kingdom, not yours. You want to exercise losing self? Then listen for ways to grow his kingdom. Amen? The second key in losing self is lose self-interest and self-promotion. Get more and more unimpressed with yourself and get more and more impressed with who Jesus is. Amen? Self has a way of wanting to be known, wanting to be accepted, and wanting to be understood. And this is hard to do when you're living life from his kingdom. When you are living from his kingdom, when you're looking from his point of view, when you're saying yes to his plans, it's really hard to care about what you understand. Really hard to care about whether or not you're accepted by others by doing it. It's really hard to care about being known when you're more concerned about making Jesus known. Another key is lose tendencies of self-preservation. Everything you create, everything you manage, everything you cling to or think you control, just know it is still in God's hands. We're called to give ourselves away, guys. What is there that we have that we gain anything in holding back? Whatever life I've created, whatever things I've done to prop up security and promotion and people's opinions of me, what does it matter? What do we really gain other than just temporal conditions in this kingdom? Here's a big one. And this one, actually, when God spoke this to me, it hit me harder than most as far as the other things that we were talking about. Stop allowing self to make kingdom decisions. Let me say that one again. Stop allowing self to make kingdom decisions. It's funny how many kingdom decisions we make based on how it affects self. Right? I won't be a part of that because I don't like that person. I won't go to that service because that time just doesn't work right for me. I can't go there, do that, share that, pray that, walk that out because it doesn't fit my life. It's your life and my life that Jesus is trying to get us to leave behind so that we respond to his calling and choose obedience without the influence of our life's requirements. Stop allowing self to make kingdom decisions. Because I'm telling you right now, the kingdom decisions that God calls us to most of the time is going to require us to not, for it's going to require self to get uncomfortable quite a bit. The last thing is lose the notion that somehow you know better than Jesus. Seriously. I mean, let me tell you something. Self speaks with audacity. We look at Peter. Peter pulls Jesus aside. Jesus. Peter pulls Jesus aside and says, "This will never happen. Forbid this, Lord. This will never happen." Self speaks with audacity. When Jesus nudges you, speaks to you, impresses upon you to do something, go somewhere, speak to someone, pray over someone, he knows what he's doing. And he knows who he is asking to do it. You don't need to convince him that you should do something else or go somewhere else or that you're the wrong person for the job. Do you understand? There is nothing about you that he hasn't already taken into account. Self will try to tell Jesus why you can't, why you won't, why he shouldn't. And that's what we need to lose to find the life that Jesus is inviting us to find. Losing your life is pretty much telling self to shut up. I know that's really deep. Losing your life is telling self to shut up and resist everything about self that contradicts his kingdom. And say, "Jesus, enter into my life however you want to. Help me lose any part of me, of self, of my life that hinders what my life should be about. And what my life should be about is Jesus, his plans, his heart, his ways, his will that should trump any other part of my life or myself. Which Jesus, by the way, puts the exclamation point on this point of view in Matthew 21. And I want to invite the band up, the worship team up. Also want to invite our prayer team. And I know we have a lot of our prayer team out this morning. So pastors, elder team, spouses, I'd love to have you all come up and be prepared to pray. You see, Matthew 21 is a few chapters later from the verses we just read earlier. This is about Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And again, I read this now after learning all that I learned in Matthew 16, and it is like an exclamation point on his point of view. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to a town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into the village over there. And I think Pastor Sean read this earlier. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. And tie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, the Lord needs them. And he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this? They asked. And the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. It's amazing here. He asked a couple of disciples to grab a donkey and his colt that he had obviously known was and had foreseen where it was going to be in this particular place. And says to untie them and take them. And if anyone asks, just tell them that the Lord needs them. And don't worry, once you say the magic words, the Lord needs them, they're going to let you take them. Oh yeah, and by the way, I'm coming into Jerusalem as king. But not in the way you probably imagine, or in the way that fits your life or your logic. I'm not coming to you with a crown of jewels on my head or riding on a chariot followed by an army demanding your following. No. I'm coming to give up my life, to lead from a place of grace and love and sacrifice, so that all who are willing to lose their life for my name's sake will find a new and beautiful life in me. To invite all mankind to see past themselves and lay down their lives as I have, to take up and find that life that I have prepared for them. It's time to look past ourselves, to see Jesus as Jesus looked past his life for us. You seeing that? Where we become more of a blur, and Jesus is all that people can see clearly. Looking back, I mentioned a little earlier, as I was preparing the sermon this week, and not out of guilt or shame, I don't believe the Father does that. It wasn't like a God pointing his finger down, but there's just things that as I was writing this down came to the forefront of my mind. And as I look back, looking at the things that I've allowed my life or myself to trap me and to cause me to make decisions to do or not do, because of how it would affect self. I want to see life the way it was intended. Free and willing to say yes to Jesus' life for me. Would you guys stand this morning, please? and just to focus, just to really give ear. Remember, the very first thing we do when we're more worried about self is we lose the ability to hear clearly what Jesus is speaking. So don't worry about what the person on the left or the right might be doing. Don't worry about what's coming later for lunch. But in these moments, get past yourself and honestly seek the voice of the Lord. Get past yourself this morning, long enough to hear what it is that He is calling you to. The only thing we have to lose in losing our lives are our lives. And our lives that we prop up or create isn't worth losing our souls over. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? What about self? Your life has been your trap, guys. I had to ask myself this. What about self? Your life has been your trap. What's keeping you from losing your life for Him? Maybe self has trapped you from hearing Jesus this morning. Maybe self has trapped you in a place of being spiritually numb. Maybe self has held you back from being bold in the things that Jesus has called you to do. Maybe self has watered down your belief or your faith. Maybe self just needs you to tell it to shut up. Maybe this morning we just need a new point of view. This morning before I even got out of bed, not something I do often, but this whole message has been on my heart all week, and it's something I want to do more often. But I prayed this prayer, as I step out of bed, let my first step and my last step today be directed and guided by you. And then I want to add on to that prayer this morning that we would pray not only that He would guide and direct our first and last step of every day, but that throughout that day, everything in the middle, that we would get past ourselves, we would see past ourselves, we would get past our own lives in order to take up the life that Jesus is calling us to. Jesus, reveal to each and every one of us what part of self is hindering our point of view. Jesus, speak to each and every one of us in this place and help us see the traps that we have allowed self to lay before us that stops us from diving into all that You have for us, Jesus. That we would begin to live life as You did when You entered Jerusalem, and that You came in a way that didn't maybe make sense to everyone. Maybe it didn't fit the life or the rationale or the logic of those that were present that day. Help us to get past what we need to see to know that it's You. Help us get past our comfort levels. Help us to get past our desires, our wants. Help us to embrace all that we've been called to be by losing our lives, losing ourselves. Help us get past us. This morning, I would challenge each and every one of you, as the worship team begins to lead us again in worship, to find your way to someone up here. One of those things I know triggered in your heart, I know the Holy Spirit has been nudging in your heart, speaking and nudging in your ear, and one of those things, maybe more than one of those things, has come to the surface. It says, that part of me is holding me up. That part of self has caused me to doubt. That part of self has been holding me back from being bold. That part about myself has stopped me from hearing His voice clearly. I've been making too many decisions, too many kingdom decisions based on how it affects me. And I want to be done with that. I'm done with self dictating what kingdom aspect is going to happen in me. If that's you this morning, then I would challenge you, I would encourage you with all grace and mercy that is in this place to find someone to speak that out and to be prayed over, as this is a family of people who doesn't say it can't happen. Let me say that again. This is not a community of believers that says it can't happen. This is a community of believers that says, Lord, you said this is going to happen. You said you're going to go do this. And as a result, this is going to happen. Awesome. Sounds good. Let's go do it. It's a shift in that point of view. I just encourage you to dive into that this morning.